You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show. And my name is Dennis Truffin, and I'm going to be here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work through the long-term growth and power of YouTube. Today's episode is 8 Common Mistakes Starting a YouTube Channel.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Truffin.
So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the 8 common mistakes when starting a YouTube channel. Are you excited?
Yes, very.
All right. There's obviously a lot more than 8, but I think when we kind of put this list together and really kind of thought about it, these were some of the most common things. And yeah. I think some of these most people don't talk about. So it's going to be really fun to kind of go over these. And I have made every single one of these mistakes. So I know that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. Right? And in our academy, the Ranked Video Blueprint Academy that we run, we kind of share these things as well too with our members, because it's really important for them to make sure they get to learn from us, so that way they don't have to make all the same mistakes. They're still going to make great mistakes.
Yeah.
And also what it looks like to be able to like leapfrog over, you know, the time it took us to, well, at least for me when I was building up the YouTube channel, to get past that faster, because that's kind of the whole premise of this podcast and the academy, is just to help people move along faster so that they don't have to take as long as I did to get to where I'm at with
correct. Well, and it just reminds me of even one of the members in there. I mean, they send you the video before they released it, right? Like, just like, hey, what else can I be doing to just make it that much better?
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. So we enjoy it. We love what we're doing here, talking about YouTube, talking about creating passive income and supporting everyone in that process as well too.
Yeah.
Before we get into the episode,
You beat me to it. I was actually going to ask you, speaking of things we love, who is someone on fire this week?
Yes. So this is my favorite segment. Our only segment right yes. now that's intentional. And real quick, I'm going to mention who my person is. But before we do that, George, what is the fire?
Yeah, so it's someone who is fervent, inspiring, and radiating energy.
So these are people that we might see either on random platforms or on YouTube or anywhere else in the world that are sharing their passion and truly just getting to do what they love. And some of them are in the process of being able to make that their full time. And some of them I've seen, which the person we're talking about today, looks like they are already doing the work to generate that income, whether it's passive in the future or active today.
Yeah.
And so the person here is Isabel Hagen.
Okay.
And she, and I love this because I love meshing two spaces together. She's a comedian and a musician, and she blends those things. She plays her violin at her comedy shows.
Interesting. At the same time?
At the same time. And I believe she might have actually started before actually going to comedy shows. She was like doing it on like video.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is I went and I kind of dig in a little deep once I find these people, and I'm like, oh man, their passion is just so vibrant on screen.
Yeah.
She already has a mailing list, so she collects emails, which is a beautiful thing, especially long-term.
Yeah.
Evergreen. And then she also has like the ability to buy tickets to her shows. So she's already kind of getting up there in that process, and I'm hoping that she's already making really good money, and some of this might also already be evergreen because of that email list. So for me, she's our fire person this week, because I think it's just incredible seeing what she's doing.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I mean, it started with you, right? And your passion and how you started with all of this. So
yeah, because my blend is I started with a financial YouTube channel, and then I started a business channel. Yep. And now the business of YouTube, but that I kind of put together is what culminated into the YouTube Passive Income podcast here, and helping people get to that point with our academy and everything else as well too. So it's beautiful when things blend, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I'm glad we get to do this. All right. Well, you ready?
Yeah, let's get started with the episode.
Love it. All right, so what are the 8 common mistakes starting a new channel?
All right, let's go. 1, 2, I'm just
yeah.
kidding. So first off, these are not in any particular order. These are just, we're putting them together in this list. Some of these happen more often than others, and sometimes we're going to run into these multiple times, which I actually love, again, because we're all learning. There's actually a word that I love to use called Kaizen.
Oh, yeah.
And I started actually using this word. It's a Japanese word, but I've already had this mentality for a long time, which is 1% improvement.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we look at our mistakes, some of these mistakes, even if we share them with you, you might still run into them, whether it's on YouTube or any other platform. And it's all a matter of like, how are you going to improve on that? And if you're going to make the mistake again, are you making the mistake better?
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you doing it less harmful for yourself or, you know, whatnot?
Or is it worse, right?
Yeah. Or are you making it worse? And if you're making it worse, how's that 1% going to help you focus so you can improve on that? So just kind of something to keep in mind when we're going through this list. Like when we say number one is not like the worst or the most common mistake or the least common. It's just one of the eight.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some honorable mentions here as well too that we'll kind of just briefly mention as we're going through this list. So
correct. And before, remember, these aren't the eight, right?
There's
more, but these are the ones that we feel
are very impactful. And whether people mention them or not, because I think there's some obvious ones sometimes that people will say, hey, these are common mistakes, but these are the ones that I've seen over and over again, whether it's people in the academy or people I've talked to and worked with in different capacities as well, too.
Yeah. And what's great is you get to speak from experience in this. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, as we go through more and more episodes, as you keep listening and are subscribed to this podcast, I'm going to share a lot of these mistakes with you because I want you to understand that, like, I didn't just get to creating passive income on YouTube by happenstance. I went through the mud, so to speak, to get to this.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're somebody like myself who wants to have passive income through YouTube, which I've been able to generate on multiple channels, I know that this works, right? I've taken it and I've implemented in different areas. You get to know that you're growing roots to be able to
bear the fruit.
I love it. So it's a really important thing. So we're playing the long game here, and I think this is really important to get started with this. So number one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Is not having a focus on income right off the bat.
Oof.
Wait, George, are you telling me that I had to focus on money and make money right away?
No.
That's not the point.
Because again, it's longevity passive income, right? So if you focus on the dollar amount or try to be, YouTube famous, right?
Doesn't usually pan out very well. And it can happen. And there are people that are an exception to the commonality that we've seen. And what we really mean by not having a focus on income right off the bat is that a lot of times people will go into this and say something along the lines of, oh, well, I'm just wanting to like see if it works out.
Yeah.
And I just want to like kind of put my foot in the door and I want to kind of, you know, share with the world my passion. Look, I'm actually I'm going to be your biggest fan.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to hold you high by saying, yes, share your biggest passion and make money doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a lot and it doesn't have to be impactful early on. But what it needs to do is have a proof of concept and get the ball rolling because when you practice this early, it's going to help you succeed. One of our stories that we talked about last episode was actually how it took me 8 months to generate my first income from YouTube. 8 months.
And how big was that check?
$151, right? Had I known that you can get started right off the bat by affiliate links, which is working with brands or sponsorships or even actually having your own products that you can promote in the links down below in those shows, notes, you can do that right away.
Yeah.
You can start making money. Now, obviously, you're learning how to do YouTube and learning how to like make income, but I would say it's that even that Kaizen, right? It's you're putting in that little effort to understand these things. Amazon Associates, which is affiliates with Amazon, is one of the best ways to get started.
Yeah.
And what happens is when you have proof of concept, there is this thing in our brains that just like clicks and being like, okay, there is possibility here.
Yeah.
And maybe I was just crazy that I went 8 months without really generating any income that like allowed me to stay going. But I know that for a lot of people, when you're not seeing that income coming in, it's going to make it so much harder to go forward with this.
Because, to keep continuing.
Because it's going to take up your time. And if you're not making up money to replace time somewhere else, it's going to be really unlikely that you want to continue moving forward with it. Because what does it look like to say, hey, pretty early on, I'm generating a little bit of income. If I can bump this up a little bit more, maybe I can, you know, pay somebody else to do my edits, pay somebody else to do my thumbnails, pay somebody else to do XYZ. Like all of these different things are going to be so impactful. But I think it's not focusing on the money side early on. I think I've seen a lot of people fall off the wagon, so to speak, to generating that income on YouTube when I think that they could have done it had they put a little bit more focus on the front end. Because it's not about the money. It's about what the money allows you to do.
Correct. Which is, if you dive into it, you're trying to create what?
Like the passive income.
Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah, it's really powerful when you are focused for the long term. And understand that, like, I'm not sitting here saying, like, hey, you should be generating, you know, a dollar a day, day one. But, like, what does it look like if you're understanding how it works? So that way, when the time comes, you're more ready for that bigger growth that will come with YouTube over time.
Oh, yeah. And again, diving into it, you're essentially trying to create freedom in time, money,
and work.
Yep.
Yeah. So all those things culminate together. And sorry to say it, but you know, our happiness and our sadness and emotions do not pay the bills. No. Money does. And when you got the money, then you can have better control of the things that are going on around you and take that time back by paying again for somebody to do edits or the things that you don't like to do in your business.
Yeah.
Accounting or all those other things, taxes.
Yeah.
Any of that
admin stuff.
Admin stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, what typically happens with people, right? Especially if they're focusing on the money and it's not coming in, what's usually the next tip of the iceberg, so to speak?
So like if they're not like generating that income?
Yeah.
So they're going to give up.
Yeah.
And that's going to be number two.
Okay.
So common mistake number two for starting a channel is that they give up too quickly. And I think there's that whole thing of like building the roots down deep, like doesn't happen overnight with a tree, right? Like you got to plant stuff. And I would like to think that when we're talking about passive income, I'm not talking about you creating this in 6 months.
Yeah.
Like this might be a year in the process, and that's okay, because what you're really doing is you're building that foundation.
Yeah.
And so I think for a lot of people, the ego gets in the way, and I've had to push it aside, and it was almost a breaking point for me to not be able to continue the success that I've had with the channel. And what happens is we look at the information and we expect one thing and get something different.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, especially with, you know, how social media is nowadays, where the, you know, people are talking about getting millions of views on videos.
You're constantly comparing yourself to others.
And truth be told is that, yes, you know, getting those numbers can be interesting and like can make people feel good if they really, you know, wanted those numbers. But like true impact is like helping and serving the people that are looking for the content that you're creating. And so for example, you know, one of our channels, the main True Financials channel that we run as of this recording is close to like 87,000, 88,000.
Yeah, just about.
And sometimes we'll release videos and they'll get like 10, 20 views in the first day.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we do that actually intentionally. There's a whole different thing about that, but like the whole thing is we're not in it for the quickness of it. We're in it for the long term. So we actually intentionally do that. We suppress the views early on because we want it to go to the right people instead of everybody, right? And so when we're not getting the subscribers or the views or the, you know, accolades or the income day one, day three, week four, week six, like we might be already giving up. And I've seen it over and over again.
Yeah.
And what I've also seen is something really interesting, especially either through like the academy or like the people I've worked with in the past. I have yet to run into somebody that's been doing YouTube for like 4 years and still not making it the way they want it to be, whether it's full time, whether it's generating a certain amount of passive income, any of those things. I have yet to find somebody who'd been like, yeah, I've been doing YouTube for 4 years and
I still can't figure it out.
Still can't figure it out. Because it's the Kaizen.
Yeah.
It's that Kaizen method of like, you're just improving over time. As long as you're putting in the work to be 1% better on your next content or the next way to approach, you know, generating income, you're going to see powerful change.
Yeah.
You know,
consistency.
You know, I have hundreds of videos on the channel, and if I had stuck with only the first 10 and then like, well, this is not working, like I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't be able to share with you all of this information because I would have given up in that process. So yeah, don't give up too quickly, because I think there's so much worth it on the other end. Now you might feel different about it, but if you really look at it and say, is this my ego trying to come at me? Or is this the truth that maybe the platform is not where I want to be? And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Right. I would never like say, hey, you got to do YouTube. Like it might not be the right answer for everybody.
Yeah.
And also I think for the most part, it's the ego that gets in the way of allowing people to go past that hard point. And you know, I'm here to help support that, because I think once you get past that, there's so much beauty on the other side of that.
Oh yeah, no, I love it. It's great.
All right, George, what's number three?
Number three, honestly, I feel like it kind of falls in with giving up too quickly, because if you don't have a clear topic or niche, and again, you don't know the audience you're trying to reach, that might be the why of why you're giving up.
Ooh,
right. Yep. So go. A little into that.
First of all, I love that you blended those a little bit, because that's kind of in that process, but I did want to separate those two common mistakes because they are separate and yet the same in a lot of capacities. So, you know, a lot of people say niche down, the riches are in the niches. And like, there's a lot of truth to that. And I do understand where a lot of people are coming from.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, I have a lot of variety in me. I'm a unique individual. And yes, you are. And I think that's beautiful. The lady we talked about earlier today, right? She does comedy and she plays the violin on stage. Like, that is so unique.
Not many people could do that.
Right. And so she has complexity to her. And the bigger problem becomes it's harder for YouTube to find your people when you're not clear on who your people are. Yeah. Right? Because if you're like, well, I want to talk about money, and then I want to talk about fitness, and then I want to talk about dogs, and then I want to talk about food, and then I want to talk about XYZ, you start becoming, you're trying to serve everybody, and that ends up serving nobody. Right? Yeah. We've heard those kind of phrases before. And so when you're not clear on who you're trying to serve, it doesn't help the algorithm, because YouTube's whole intention is to find the right person for you.
Yeah.
And so when you're very clear, and it takes episode, or it takes a lot of videos to get to that point, not all the time, but you know, you're going to be building up 20, 30, 40 videos, and YouTube really understands. Like for us on the True Financials channel, YouTube knows exactly who we are.
Yeah.
They know to the point who our audience members are, who we're serving. And so they send it out to the right people nearly every single time. Is it perfect? No, obviously not. But it does a really, really good job.
Yeah.
Because we told it over time, this is who we are.
Well, and you set up those indivisible boundaries, right?
Yep.
Of what your channel is about.
Yeah. And so the problem ends up for a lot of people are like, well, I do want to talk about the things I want to talk about. I hear you. And what does it look like to be very clear with YouTube who you are to start with? And then over time, you can kind of, I would say, I don't want to say break the rules of YouTube, but you can eventually break out of
those walls
down the road, because you've given enough information for YouTube to at least understand who you started out as.
Yeah.
Because then it's faster. It's getting your audience to you faster. And then over time, you build up a certain way of being with your audience that then you can kind of post, I don't want to say what you want, but like you can be a little bit more free with it. A lot of bigger content creators I've seen do this in the past, where they'll be hyper specific on a topic or a niche, sometimes a nice blended one, which I love. And then eventually they break out of that over time, because maybe they did want to talk about other things, but they understood that to build the audience, they first had to get the audience.
Correct.
And the way to get the audience is to be consistent on a similar topic.
Yeah.
If you were like, hey, look, I love talking about food all day, but I want to integrate my dog with food, right? Like,
yeah.
So I'm making food for humans and food for dogs. You know, that's a really cool niche, right? But like, it might be at first like, hey, I'm just cooking for my dog. And then it's like, eventually it could be cooking for my dog and me. And it's the same meal, but it's like human and dog edible. I'm just giving you an example. Like, I've never seen that. And if you're thinking about that, hopefully you take that and run with it, because it's kind of a cool concept. And it's just like, we are able to, like I've shared with you as well, like we have 4 YouTube channels that we run, and 2 of them are kind of just for fun.
Yeah.
Like we make a little bit of money with them because we know how to create passive income regardless of how big the channel is. And I'm not worried about the algorithms as much and like the intention behind those, because they're subsidized by the channels that are making it and doing what I want, which is generating passive income regardless if I'm working or not. I can sit around and not do anything for the main True Financials channel, and it'll generate income for months on end.
You could prove that. Yeah, you could take time to record a podcast while the other 700 of you are working.
That's a great idea. Maybe we should do a podcast talking about YouTube and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Here we are. No. Yeah, so we're here because of the possibilities, thanks to the passive income we've created. So it is really important. And I think that's a common mistake. And I understand wholeheartedly about wanting to kind of be your own voice while also understanding that in order to build up to that, we get to a point. Yes, some people will break that rule instantaneously because there's just something about them that like propelled them forward.
Yeah.
And I think for most people, I think it is that long-term build up and then getting to kind of break out of that.
And it's not saying you can never do that, right? Because like you mentioned, you kind of do that now. What you initially started YouTube with is not what you constantly produce, but now you get to post those, you know, that content now every now and again, because that's what you love doing, right?
Exactly.
No. It's great.
Beautiful thing. So number 4 on here is a little bit of like, I don't want to say like not as important as some of these other ones, but it's shocking how impactful I've seen this mistake. And it's not focusing on your audience. And a lot of this has to do with like commenting or, you know, emailing them back if they somehow reach out to you, because you can post your email on YouTube if you wanted to, so they can reach out to you, right? Or you can put it in your show notes. And I see it very common where people are not having a connection with their audience, especially early on. Like I get when you start getting big enough, it actually becomes pretty difficult to comment to every single person. And as you're getting started, the whole premise for all of us usually is to want to have connection, especially with people that are interested in the same thing we are.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, like we talked about in a previous episode, somebody who builds sandcastles like not castles, but they build stuff in sand. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if somebody else is reaching out to them saying, hey, like, that's really cool, I want to like learn how to do that, what tools are you using? But they don't comment back to that person. There's like this disconnect of, There's that break between, you know, the audience member and you, because I think when you're just getting started out, I think we get to go really deep with our audience and yeah. build that strong foundation again, because these are going to be the people that are going to talk about you all the time outside of YouTube, and that are going to be coming towards you and referring everybody over to you, because they're like, wow, this person's like messaged me back or commented back to me. And yeah. I see a lot of that like mistake on there as well.
Well, so yeah. And it's flipping the script instead of hiding behind the screen,
yeah.
right? Of when people post things or whatever, it's like, okay, I'm now going to utilize this as a tool to connect us, even though it's a video from 6 years ago, right? Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
So obviously we have another four to go, but we did want to put in some quick honorable mentions.
Yes.
So some honorable mentions is copyright issues. So I've seen some people overuse certain products or images or sounds that end up taking their videos down because they're yeah. not doing copyright properly. Yep. There's a lot deeper stuff you can learn on there. So I would encourage you, I think YouTube has some resources on their page and everything that you can kind of go through and break down, so you can learn more about copyright issues, like putting clips or audio from other things that yep. you don't own. Another thing is, and I forgot to write this down, but it's so important that I remembered it while we were doing the honorable mentions, is not like the biggest common mistake I see is worrying about the subscriber number versus worrying about the value that you're providing.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people care about the subscribers, and I get it. And also knowing what I know now from all the content that I've created, all the channels I've ran, all the people I've worked through, whether it's through the academy or just one-on-one.
Yeah.
It really is that the subscriber number is so different than what you're actually doing, which is yeah. the impact on the videos themselves. Because more people are going to watch your video typically than are subscribed to your channel, especially yeah. as you continue to grow. And it's really about focusing on the value and yeah. that Kaizen 1%, we're bringing that back, on improving your quality versus sitting there worrying about, well, getting to 100 subscribers or getting to 1,000 subscribers. I get that that's an important aspect for a lot of people. And also that's the part that has impact for people.
Yeah.
Like the person you're trying to impact, whether it's teaching them something or showing them the, you know, uniqueness that you provide that maybe they would also be interested in, is in the video,
correct,
not how many subscribers you have.
Yeah. And again, what would it look like if you shift perspective of focusing on the value add of the content I produce, right? Because if you told me, hey, you're going to have 100,000 subscribers, but people are just watching it and not paying attention, or they don't really care about it, and you're only going to make $3,000 a month, right? Let's just use that as an example. And to flip it, and you tell me, hey, you're only going to have 10,000 subscribers, but each one of those people love what you do, and you actually make $6,000 a month.
I love that you use that, because I kind of talk about that all the time as well, which is like, what are you in for? Are you in for like notoriety, or are you in for impact and income? Because yeah. I like the income and impact part of it.
Yeah.
Because I'm having two fronts, and I'm not, it's not a vanity for me. I'm like, correct, I'm not looking for fame in that regard as well too. So
yeah.
I love that you brought that up.
Yeah.
And I love how these honorable mentions are getting a little bit more talk, which is fine.
Yeah.
You're just getting more value here.
What's the last one in the honorable?
The last honorable mention was too many, what we call CTAs, which is calls to action.
Yep.
And that is effectively just having people do too much in a video for your audience, right? If you're like, yeah. hey, click this link, subscribe, don't forget to like, hey, don't forget to go check out this website, hey, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, don't forget to do XYZ. Like, it starts yeah. becoming overwhelming. It's a laundry list. And especially when you want to have income and impact, right? Like, it's so much better to just be like, hey, go click out the link down below, I got you covered, because we got a special offer for you,
yep.
for my audience. And that's it. Like, it's super powerful.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful. So yeah, those were the honorable mentions. I'm glad we got to dive in a little deeper, so you got a little bit more than just like reading those off.
Yeah.
And then what's number five, George?
It's actually low audio quality.
Yeah.
And let's actually talk about your first video.
Oh, yes, I love it so much. My first video is fantastic, and I absolutely love it, because it is terrible.
Okay.
Across the board. And so this is a very big common mistake. And what's so crazy is we can actually get this fixed with a $20 microphone.
Yeah.
And yes, there are better microphones than the $20 ones. And I just tell people all the time, if you're just getting started and you kind of want to like feel things out, do a $20 lab mic on Amazon.
Yeah.
That will usually just improve enough of the quality to help you out. Now, obviously, the funny part is people are like, well, you're a YouTube channel, shouldn't you focus more on video? than audio.
They're listeners too.
They're listeners too. And actually, people are more willing to deal with bad visuals than they are with bad audio. When it's audio, it is so hard to focus. And if you're bringing value and you're punching it with good value in that video, they can overlook all of the terrible video quality.
Can you imagine good value and then good quality? You're doubling down on what your content's about, right? The visual, it could be a hit or a miss.
I mean, you know, there's videos that I've produced that as long as the audio was good, the video sometimes had hiccups in it. Yeah. I have one where, actually, funny enough, and we'll go back to my first video too because you did bring it up, but one of my videos that I made like 3 years in, I had the autofocus like really like lose traction of my face. So it was like zooming in and out, and it was like causing like even myself during the edit to be like a little woozy. But I was like, I need to get this video out. Like,
it's important.
It's important. Sure enough, like it's actually one of my best performing videos of all time. And it had a visual problem, but the audio was good enough and the value was superb.
The value was there.
Exactly what people needed. And so, yeah, you can overcome a lot of those things, but the audio is the hardest one, ironically, in a video content piece to get people to hurdle over if it's bad.
Yeah.
So going back to the first video, you heard like the cricklings and the audio pieces. And then over time, I was getting enough people commenting in my videos saying like, hey, your audio is terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of being macho and like wanting to be right about things, I was just like, yeah, let me take a look into it. And sure enough, got a better mic. Then I learned a little bit more about audio and all that stuff. And I think, wow, they're pretty good.
Yeah. No. And again, it's learning from your own experience, right? Which is hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that Kaizen thing, right? I keep bringing it back because it's that 1% better. And I've made the mistake multiple times, right? Not only did I ignore the messages at first, then I finally got a better microphone, but then I still made the mistake of not actually like learning how to edit it better. Yeah. And then eventually got to that point. So,
well, and that just brings up again, going back to the commenting, like your audience will most likely tell you what you need to work on too, like, or what they're wanting.
And are there mean people online?
100%.
Yeah, sure. But a lot of times, and sometimes even the ones that seem a little mean, like I got to be real, sometimes are trying to come from a good place, but maybe just didn't do it well.
Yeah.
And I've actually had it so many times where somebody would say something mean or what would be perceived as mean. And then I was like, oh, thank you so much for your feedback. I'm actually going to work on that. And then they respond back with, hey, sorry, I didn't mean to be so harsh about it. I appreciate you actually like reading this message and replying back. And, you know, it's like, you know, treat people with kindness, even if they're coming at you. Cause a lot of times, maybe it's just misspoken or misinterpretations based off of, you know, it being in writing exclusively. So it's harder to tell. So I think for a lot of times, I love that you went back to that other common mistake, which is, you know, ignoring the comments, you're ignoring ways to improve.
Yeah. No, no, that's great.
I love it.
Okay. Let's go into one of the next. What is number six?
Number six.
Okay. Ignoring SEO and or analytics.
Okay. What's SEO?
Search engine optimization.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So search engine optimization is a way to help people kind of find your content because you're kind of teaching the algorithms how to kind of place your video in the world of, you know, YouTube and everything that it offers. And so a lot of people, I would say, ignore both search engine optimization, which means I'm intentionally trying to get this video searched, and then ignoring the analytics. And I think there's more often than not people ignoring the analytics. And what's fascinating is I understand why, because there's just a bunch of numbers on there. And
it can be overwhelming.
Oh, it's definitely overwhelming, right? And, you know, for somebody like myself, I'm an analytical person. So to me, I'm like, I just see art. When I look at these numbers, like I love it so much. And obviously that's why we're here to be your guides in this process and understanding like the algorithm and the analytics better. And I also encourage people, not saying that you have to sit there and learn everything about it, but just really like just focusing in like what is it telling you that YouTube is needing from you and or what's working, right? And that's what happened to me is like I paid attention to this stuff. So when you're not paying attention to your analytics, the thing that most people look at is how many views did I get or how many subscribers? Like those are the analytics people look at.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe looking at, well, how did my videos perform for the amount of time people watched?
Correct.
So in case you don't know, YouTube has an overall analytics, which is breaks down the overall channel for you, but then you can do that with individual videos. Mm. And those individual videos give you so much clarity on what's working and what's not. So you can do the Kaizen method of improving. So if you get a video and let's say you made it 10 minutes long and then people stayed for 2 minutes, right? So your retention on that is 20%.
Not great.
And it might not be great. And what it's telling you is like, okay, what's working and what's not? There's a graph in the individual video that you can actually see when people are leaving.
Yeah.
Like, it is so powerful. And people might be like, well, that is like, what am I going to do with that information?
How does that help me?
How does it help you? Right. And so then you look at it and say, okay, am I saying certain words that constantly knock people out?
Yeah.
Like, of the video, am I like blabbering on, which is going to be coming up here in a little bit with another tip?
Yeah.
Or am I, you know, am I not providing what I promised in the video?
Yeah.
And that's why people are leaving. Because that's, again, you, we only know this by the analytics, because we talked about this before. One of my favorite things about analytics is it doesn't have any emotions behind it. It's not mad at me. It's not like upset with me. It doesn't like hate me or love me. It just tells me as it is.
Tells you the story.
And we're making up interpretations with it. And I'm not going to put my emotions with it. And I had in the past, and that was a big mistake as well, actually, is emotionally attaching myself to the analytics instead of just realizing that I get to continue to do the work that comes with the information that it's giving.
That's provided. Yeah.
Right. So like, just a quick side note with the story of my history, which was back in 2019, when I was already in the couple of years into my channel, I ran into a situation where the analytics was telling me which way my channel should go if I wanted to have immense growth.
Correct.
And it took me 2 months and a couple sessions of crying with my group that I was in to make that shift. And it was hard because I was putting emotions to it rather than just seeing the algorithm and the analytics as information not attacking me, not saying that I'm not good enough for what I wanted to originally do, and set my ego aside for that. So looking at the analytics, the beautiful thing though too, is YouTube has been doing more and more work on making analytics easier for people who are not like myself, that are analytics nerds. So they do like weekly recaps to kind of understand like the platform and like what's going on the back end as well too. And if you go through those, it'll help you get started with it.
Okay. No, I love that. And actually going back to the academy, I do remember somebody talking about like, hey, here's my video, let's watch it, because I don't know why the drop off is.
Well, was that the one where I was like, I bet you anything that the drop off is at like the 7 minute marker.
Yeah.
And like, sure enough, on the back end, that's exactly where everyone was dropping off.
Well, yeah. In reviewing that video, I believe you mentioned it's like, oh yeah, you essentially told them the video was over.
Yeah.
It's like you could have ended the video at this, let's just say that 7 minute mark, and then done the end screen, and you would have been fine.
Yeah. And it wasn't me making that as like an emotional choice. It was the analytics. I just happened to know the analytics so well that I can see things like kind of through people's videos, because I do sometimes watch people's videos on the front end and from our academy, and then like I can tell them in the back end like, hey, this is what I'm assuming is going on. I'm sometimes wrong, but it's also like, if I am wrong, I can look at the analytics and be like, okay, what isn't that the case? Like, where is that the case and where is it not? And then like kind of mesh some things up to help that person out. But yeah, that ended up being the case. Saw the video, saw where the timer was, and then sure enough, the analytics said the exact same thing. And so they got to make that decision of like, okay, I do get to cut off my video, but they learned because they did the work to understand it.
Yeah. Now, and it's funny because I think they had a different end screen with that one, and that had a significant improvement as well. So, again, it's just the little things we could look at to make slight adjustments from low. Yeah, exactly. I love it.
All right. So number 7, this one is going to be the carbon copy and not making it your own. What does that mean, George?
So don't just copy and paste in a video platform, right? Like YouTube. Don't watch somebody's video and be like, okay, I'm going to create the same thing.
Yeah.
Add your twist to it, right? Because again, there's other channels in the financial world.
And
right?
That do exactly what I do, and yet we can both thrive at the same time. So yeah, what you're saying is, look, find somebody that maybe is doing some, if you're doing research and you're like, oh, I want to make that same video.
Yeah.
I've actually seen people make the exact same, like, let's say it's a common 8 mistakes for whatever topic you're talking about. And they take them like verbatim and in that list order as well, and don't really add anything to their own. And, you know, there's something about it where it's pretty obvious when it's not coming authentically from yourself.
Yeah.
About like, especially if you're passionate about this stuff, right? Like I'm so passionate about YouTube that like these 8 common mistakes, like it was so easy for me because I'm like, there are like 100.
Yeah.
So it actually made it harder because I had to narrow it down with just the 8. But I know these things like the back of my hand because I've experienced them sometimes once, sometimes multiple times, and other times from other people that I've seen in the same space.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, you can learn from other people. You can take inspiration. And what does it look like to put in with your own voice and your own style and not like carbon copy it, because that's where I think a lot of people make that mistake. And then either it doesn't perform the same, and then they have that like, you know, well, why didn't mine work? You know, why is it, you know, different? Like, it's supposed to be, you know, perform the same if that's exactly what they did. Well, it's because it's obvious that it's not in your own voice.
Yeah. Great way to put it.
Yeah. And now we got number 8.
Overextended intros.
Long-tailed on the end and then fluffing up the video. So it's kind of all curtailed into one here for us. Beautifully mentioned, because we're here at the end part of our episode here. So it just kind of works out really perfect. I didn't actually do that intentionally. It just ended up working. Where I've seen it too often where people overextend their introduction on their videos.
Yep.
Where they'll like go in for like 10 minutes before they get in the episode. On YouTube, we get to be really straightforward and direct. And then the middle part, the fluff, sometimes that happens. And by fluff, I mean when we overextend things that we don't really need to be talking about and just giving the person what they want and what they need in the content. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's usually where they'll lose their audience is in the fluff that doesn't bring value. I mean, we're talking about people's time that are sitting here visually typically watching you. So like you get to entertain them in some way or educate them.
Correct.
And yes, there's that in between as well too. But I think if you're entertaining or educational, you're going to hold that person so long as you're not over fluffing it or overextending because you want to hit a certain amount of time on your video. Now, I always tell people, make the video as long as it needs to be and end it there. Like just end where you feel you've gotten them enough value so you're not overextending their time, because that can be so harmful for them.
Yeah.
And that leads into the very end, which is like we talked about with one of our Academy members, which is they overextended their like exit by almost like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that hurt their channel in that video. So when it comes to an end, like I like to joke, like almost make it a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know, just, like, don't overextend it. Have what you're going to say. And then and we have a whole map method that we talk about in our Academy and our book as well, too, where we actually explain to people how you kind of map up your video. So when you cliffhang at the end of a video, you're actually leading them to the next piece of content that you create, which helps long term. And we'll get way into that in a future episode as well, too, where we'll explain how that functions, how you go about it so you can be most effective with it.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of not making those kind of mistakes, we're going to make sure we're ending this episode here right now. So for us, we're going to leave you on that cliffhanger. All 8, we're going to go over really quick, just as a last minute thing here, to kind of briefly explain what we just talked about, which was not having a focus on income right off the bat, which was number 1.
Yep. Number 2 was giving up too quickly.
Number 3 was not having a clear topic or niche.
Number 4, not commenting back.
And then we had number 5, which was low audio quality.
Number 6, ignoring SEO and analytics.
Number 7 was the carbon copy and not making it your own.
And number 8, not overextending intros or elongating the end.
All right. That was perfect. All of our resources are going to be in the show notes down below for you. You can check us out if you want to reach out to us, have more connection. This is the YouTube Passive Income, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Thank you so much for listening.
And see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize. Again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.